Like, it's always a big shock when Ronnie O'Sullivan gets knocked out of the World Snooker Championship. But I guess in recent years, you know, last year he was just impeccable all the way through in August last year to win the sixth world title. But then before, you're thinking about him losing to Ali Carter in the second round, losing to the qualifier James Cahill in the first round. And so there are shocks. And the thing about the World Snooker Championship is the pressure is immense. Now, I wouldn't say Ronnie lost to Anthony McGill because of pressure, because he's used to it. He's used to it. He's used to the venue and that kind of thing. But McGill is one of these dark horses who you felt sorry for last year at the World Snooker Championship when he lost that immense semi-final deciding frame against Kyron Wilson. Kyron flew to green, I think it was. Probably the most incredible frame of snooker that's ever been seen at the Crucible Bar, that 85 black ball final I mentioned. But like, it was just one of those matches. You could not sit still watching it. It was incredible. And Ronnie was really impressive in the first session, and I think he led maybe 5-3, but he lost the second session then in the morning 6-2 to trail 10-4. So he's 10-4 down, and you're thinking heading into the evening session of that match on Friday night, this is not going to go Ronnie's way. But you always have that niggling doubt in the back of your head, thinking Ronnie can always come back. And Ronnie, of course, did come back. Sublime snooker, edged his way into it to a lead at 11-10, then Aidan, and 12-11. And once it went to 12-11, and it's first to 13, of course, in these best of 25 frames, McGill forced a decider, and then a nerveless break of 85 to reach the quarterfinals. So you can't help but be absolutely chuffed for someone like Anthony McGill, because he puts in so much work. Now, for Ronnie fans will be disappointed. I'd say World Snooker will be disappointed as well, because people will just watch Ronnie O'Sullivan matches, because you never know what's going to happen next. And look, defeat means he has to wait to try and match that record of 7 world titles that Stephen Hendry still has. And he also missed the chance to move one ahead of Hendry's record of 20 quarterfinal appearances at the World Snooker Championship. And then from a financial point of view, by missing out on the £50,000 reward for reaching the last 8, he also misses out in going past a total of £3 million in earnings from the World Championship. So he won't be too bothered. He actually has a pop-up shop open in Sheffield this week, where he's selling merchandise and Ronnie O'Sullivan signed cues and balls and waistcoats.
That's amazing.
So, you know, he's not too worried about the money, I don't think. But he's just a character. Oh, yeah. Like, you see him, like, he's on Instagram today. He's out jogging, and you love to see it, because he's in a really good place, I think, Ronnie. And he spoke after the match with McGill about, you know, the work he's been doing with Steve Peters, his psychiatrist, and talking about how popular he is in China, and that he's going to focus on making himself even bigger in China over the coming, you know, months and years. But he said, look, I can play for another 5 or 10 years. And you'd have to say, if he does play for another 5 or 10 years, he will absolutely equal Stephen Hendry's record of 7, and who knows, could potentially overtake it as well. So he hasn't fallen out of love with snooker. He was purring that morning session that I mentioned against McGill. But he says afterwards, he said, anyone that is watching knows, if you play golf and play 17 rubbish holes and then play some good shots up the last, you're like, I love the game again. That's what snooker is like, and that's what's kept him going. So he's just one of these characters. It's disappointing for the tournament that he's out, but you can't take anything away from Anthony McGill.
But as you mentioned, World Snooker are probably not too happy to see Ronnie O'Sullivan go out. But I suppose from the other side of things, it means we have a quarterfinal draw now where literally anybody can win. And you mentioned Anthony McGill, you know, beaten by that fluke. Kyron Wilson in tears, and he won the game, like, you know, so absolutely brilliant stuff last year. And, you know, that ice cool 85 as well from McGill. So is he the man to beat now?
For me, like, McGill will, anyone who knocks out Ronnie O'Sullivan, you'd have to think, like, McGill's only the 16th seed, but if you knock out Ronnie O'Sullivan, you have to start thinking, okay, I can go on and do this. Now, he plays the winner of Stuart Bingham and Jamie Jones in the quarterfinals. Now, that they're currently locked at 4 frames apiece, but so that's not the worst draw. Now, Stuart Bingham's not an easy player, the 2015 champion, of course, but if you're looking down the list of players, now, Neil Robertson is someone who came into this tournament, and I was always thinking, if Ronnie gets knocked out, or even if Ronnie gets to play Neil Robertson, he's going to be very, very difficult to beat, Aidan, because he has kind of underachieved at the World Snooker Championship, the Thunder from Down Under. He's only reached the semi-finals once since winning his only world title back in 2010, but he's looked in serious form, and he's taken that momentum before the World Championship into his opening two rounds. So, like, he won the third championship, I think it was 10-4, he beat Ronnie O'Sullivan in the final, and he said it's probably the best he's ever performed in an event from start to finish. And like, in his most recent win over Jack Lasowski, Stephen Hendry called Robertson's win utterly ruthless. And then you hear Robertson coming out of the post-match interview saying he still says there's room for improvement. And that is terrifying, because if you're someone coming up against Neil Robertson, having seen how he's performed, and he's coming out saying, well, there's room for improvement, that's scary, because if he's got 20 ranking titles, he's back into form, he knows he's underachieved at the Crucible. And that win I mentioned over Ronnie O'Sullivan at the Tour Championship, you know, if he can keep that form going, he's got a lovely, you probably have seen the lockdown haircut he has at the moment. He's got this massive bonnet of hair going.
Similar to my own at the minute.
Like, if that's a lucky streak for him, he will be hard to beat. And like, for me, it's either Neil Robertson or Mark Williams. Like, Mark Williams is just one of these guys who's just been reeling in the years. I think he's 46 years of age, and the guy he beat in the second round there, John Higgins, is 45. So who said it's a young man's game? It certainly isn't. And if Mark Williams can take that form, you know, he beat John Higgins in the 2018 final, so it was a repeat of that decider, and he started the final session 10-6 up, needed just four more frames, and he ended up winning 13-7. Really, really impressive. He's looking for a fourth world title, and if he wins that, you have to start to think of Mark Williams as one of the greats of the game of all time. He already is up in the conversation, but he'll play the winner of Mark Allen and Mark Selby in the next round. So I think Mark Williams, Neil Robertson, and as you mentioned, anyone who beats Ronnie O'Sullivan, so Anthony McGill, they all have to be in contention.
And you mentioned that there isn't a whole lot of young stars coming through. It's the old lads who are carrying the weight at the minute. And we've often heard about this takeover by the Chinese that's, you know, imminent at any moment. That really hasn't been borne out in this year's tournament. There's more people named Mark who are still left in it than Chinese. So, you know, Yan Bingtao is flying the flag for the Chinese at the minute. He's 10-5 down. Where will we see the next big stars of snooker coming from?
Yeah, like, it's worrying because you see Ding Junhui and he's such a talented player, but you always think mentally, and snooker is a mentally tough sport. Like, you're sitting down and you're at the mercy of your opponent. You know, you have to just sit there and take it if your opponent is in form and you don't get a shot at the table. So, you know, he lost 10-9 in that really, really exciting decider against Stuart Bingham in the opening round, Ding Junhui. And then you're looking at the other guys like Liu Haoshan in the first round, the Chinese player, losing to Mark Allen 10-2. Now, he's young and inexperienced, so probably not a big surprise. And Liang Wenbo as well, losing 10-3 to Neil Robertson. So the Chinese players will be quite disappointed. Now, the man you mentioned, Yan Bingtao, and as you mentioned, he is down to Sean Murphy at the moment. But he was very, very impressive in beating Martin Gould 10-6 in the first round. He's the Masters champion, so we know he can win, you know, a Triple Crown event. But in terms of where the next, you know, snooker stars are coming from, they will come from China, and there will be a Chinese winner of the World Snooker Championship, I would say, within the next 5 years. Now, that might be doing a disservice to Yan Bingtao, who probably thinks he can go on and win this year. But the disappointing thing is that we can't see these Irish talents anymore. You have some young Irish players like Aaron Hill, who are, you know, flying the flag, and some of the older guys as well. Ken Doherty in the qualifiers, but we would love to have a moment like that 1987 Ken Doherty win, you know, where he's getting the open top bus through Dublin, 1985 where Dennis Taylor's going back up to his homestead in Tyrone, and Alex Higgins, of course, the two-time world snooker champion, just an iconic hero in Belfast. But there will be a Chinese winner at some point. Like you mentioned, the youth is crucial in this, because if we can get some young exciting players, And like players like Judd Trump and Jack Lasowski are exciting to watch. Kyron Wilson is another youngster. I say youngster, he's about 27 or 28, so he's not exactly, you know, a spring chicken. But Judd Trump is someone who, if he can light up the rest of this championship, and look, I say this, he's 5-3 ahead against David Gilbert, and you'd like to think Judd Trump can go on and push on in this tournament. I'm just looking here to see who he plays in the next round. So if he can get over this David Gilbert clash, he'll play the winner of Sean Murphy and Yan Bingtao in the quarterfinals. So, you know, that'll be a nice little match, Judd Trump against Sean Murphy in a quarterfinals. But Trump has been quite strange in recent months, Aidan. It's kind of hard to predict what you're going to get from him, because, you know, in the Triple Crown event, it's been a fairly frustrating year. He lost the UK Championship in that decider on the final pink to Neil Robertson. He had to withdraw from the Masters a few weeks later. He returned a positive COVID-19 test. And really, since winning that world title in 2019, you know, he hasn't won another major, although over that time span, he won 11 ranking event titles. So it's not like he wasn't on form. He just hasn't been in form in the majors. And realistically, at the end of the day, when you look back on someone's career, you look at the number of World Snooker Championship titles they won. And look, Judd will want to win more than one World Snooker Championship title. So if he can bring that kind of form that we saw a couple of years ago into the rest of this tournament, well, who knows? He could add to his single world title.
An unpredictable Trump, who could have seen that?
Exactly. It's hard to tell, isn't it? Yeah, make snooker great again. It's one of these conversations we've kind of had. And like, people often say to me, they say, is snooker on a downward spiral now? Is it on an upward spiral? Like the 1980s, I unfortunately wasn't around for that heyday of snooker when you had Pot Black and you had, you know, everyone got, like, snooker players were like rock stars back then. Like the likes of Steve Davis and Dennis Taylor and Alex Higgins and Cliff Thorburn and all of these guys. They were like rock stars. Everyone knew them. And, you would love to see snooker come back to that kind of thing. Barry Hearn, who announced this week he's stepping down as chairman of Matchroom Sport, and I think Eddie, his son, is taking over that position. He's done a lot, Barry Hearn, for the interest in snooker, it has to be said, in recent years. You know, that the prize money has gone up. People seem more interested in it, and they're getting more of these events on terrestrial television as well, so people can actually watch these matches. So you would hope, like, snooker halls in Dublin and across, you know, the rest of the country, and I'm sure down in the southeast as well, there aren't many snooker halls compared to what they were in the 80s and even in the 90s. Sure. Like, you know, if you want six or seven snooker tables, that's a lot of real estate. You're going to be paying a lot of rent to kind of have that kind of area. So it's an expensive sport for people to kind of take part in, but it's one of these sports that I hope is going through a resurgence at the moment. And if we can continue to see Ronnie O'Sullivan playing at his peak for the next 5 or 10 years, I think snooker is going to go from strength to strength.
We've seen that soccer almost came to the brink of destruction there with the ESL during the week. Is Mark Williams' break-off, is that going to be the end point for snooker now? Should he be stripped of the title if he ends up winning?
This conversation has been remarkable. Like, he's continued, as you said, like this controversial break-off technique. So he nudges, for anyone who hasn't seen it, he nudges the cue ball very slowly into the back of the pack of reds off the bottom cushion. John Higgins also played the shot once in the match, probably a bit of mind games there. But after his first round win over Sam Craigie, Williams said this debate and talk of it being banned by the sports governing body was, quote, farcical. And he said, if they ban the break-off, they've got to ban rolling up behind ball colours and rolling up behind the black. It's not an illegal shot, and I don't see the problem with it. In my view, I'm there with him. I'm right there with him, because it doesn't leave a shot for your opponent. You know it's going to be you can potentially leave a red onto the middle, one of the middle pockets, but generally you're not going to leave a shot on. And the other thing is, sometimes on a break off, a couple of reds break away and they tie up the black, and they make it quite a defensive, boring frame because the black's tied up. You might only get small break, like one or two reds here and there, and have to keep coming up to balk, and the break breaks down. But when you use this break off, the black is always there, and eventually when the reds do open up, it's a much more attacking frame. So it might actually be seen as a defensive move, but as Stephen Hendry pointed out yesterday, it's actually quite an attacking break-off when you think about it. And like, John Higgins has done it as well. Ronnie O'Sullivan, we've seen doing it a couple of times in this tournament as well. So I don't think there's a problem with it. And look, we've been talking about interest in snooker here, Aidan, and one man who is going to be key in that is Mark Williams, because snooker needs characters. We had Jimmy White, we had Alex Higgins, we have Ronnie O'Sullivan still today. Mark Williams is up there. Like, his social media updates and his tweets are just incredible. And he's one of these characters in the game who has a laugh during his matches. And you need to see that. You need to see players playing with a smile on their face. And I said, look, he's going to play the winner of Mark Allen and Mark Selby in the quarterfinals. And he's someone who you just want to see do really well. He talked about hitting kamikaze shots in his win over John Higgins, but he's playing them really well. And he says he's loving his snooker at the moment and playing the kind of game he did 20 years ago. So one of that member of class of 92, long live Mark Williams and his relaxed approach to snooker, and long live the break-off as well. I don't see a problem with it, and hopefully World Snooker think the same.
It'll surely be infecting all the pool halls around the country there later on in the year. But listen, to finish off our chat here, we've talked about some of the big hitters still in there. Mark Allen is trailing at the minute. Can you see him turning it around against Selby?
Like, Mark Allen is one of these players who I just love. I love watching. He's kind of slowed down his game purposely now, mind. Like, he's behind by a few frames at the moment against Selby. And Selby is just so hard to beat. The torturer, I think Ronnie O'Sullivan has called him before. He's just got the mindset that's clearly, you know, served him well. He's won 3 World Snooker Championship titles. But Mark Allen is one of these players, like, he's the Irish interest left. He's an Antrim man, of course. And we'd love to see him do well. Like, he's one of the left-handers in the game. He really is brave with some of his shots as well, Mark Allen, and he's one of these players. You know, he's the Irish hope. He's playing a player in Selby who was ruthless in the opening round. He beat Kurt Mafflin 10 frames to 1. But he looks more solid, Mark Allen, as Alan McManus said today on commentary with the BBC. Like, Allen really needs to come out ahead in some of these sessions. He'll be heartened by his recent form against Selby as well. I said he's behind at the moment, but he's beaten Selby in both the 2019 Champion of Champions and the 2020 Tour Championship. That was their last two meetings. So it's not like he's coming into this match worried. No, Selby has obviously started the brighter. But he's one of these players that if Mark Allen can get a win in this match, get into the quarterfinals, who knows what's going to happen. He's been to a semi-final before, so he knows the one table setup. He's won the Masters as well, it has to be said, so it's not like he's a small-time player. But the winner plays Mark Williams, the aforementioned Mark Williams, in the quarterfinals. So I would really sincerely, from an Irish perspective, absolutely love Mark Allen to win this match, go on to play Mark Williams in the quarterfinals. We'll have an all-Mark quarterfinal either way, as you said. So, you know, fingers crossed he can do it. Regardless, you know, he's put up a decent fight in this World Snooker Championship, and he won't be too disappointed to go out against Mark Selby, given the calibre of player he is. But here's hoping Mark Allen can come good and come through that match.